Part 3. Build. This part describes the details of each of the five domains used to build the physical and non-physical training programs of H2F. The domains are physical readiness, nutritional readiness, mental readiness, spiritual readiness, and sleep readiness. It also discusses the special conditioning requirements. Chapter 7. Physical Readiness. Physical readiness is a critical component of soldier readiness, unit readiness, and army readiness. Effective soldiers can overcome ever-changing and complex challenges in both strategic and operational environments. They must possess the physical and non-physical capabilities to fight and win in multi-domain operations. The chapter describes the principles of physical readiness as well as the fundamentals of movement for the execution of Army physical training. Ruck marching, running, and swimming serve as the foundations of physical readiness and enable soldiers to perform their occupational tasks and endure the physical demands of combat. Principles of physical readiness. The principles of physical readiness training are precision, progression, and integration. Effective soldiers can precisely execute the program's exercises and drills. These soldiers progress from physical proficiency in WTBD to being able to integrate those skills into tasks required for their MOSs and combat. Precision. Precise movement depends on having the structural capabilities, proper flexibility, tolerance of extra weight, body composition, and the connection of the brain to muscles, motor patterns, that allow soldiers to learn the standard and perceive the difference between correct and incorrect techniques. The quality of the movement is as important as the weight lifted, repetitions performed, or speed of the movement. Movement skill develops through the repeated execution and deliberate practice of foundational drills and exercises. Rehearsal, using mental imagery, can assist in refining precise movement patterns without the cost of physical exertion. The principle of precision ensures the development of perception and awareness of the body's position in space, kinesthesia, to improve training, testing, and battlefield performance. See ATP 7-22.01 for H2F testing and ATP 7-22.02 for drills and exercises. Progression. Progression refers to the proper dose of frequency, intensity, duration, and type of exercise required to overload the body without causing overtraining, plateauing, or reversal of fitness. The goal is to develop physical capacity to support the mastery of occupational and combat-specific tasks. Task analysis includes the physiological demands of the task and potential performance and injury issues the soldier might have. Proper progression of the weight, repetitions, speed, and variety of exercises builds from the initial phase to sustaining phase. Initial phase training creates foundational fitness that soldiers use to safely progress from the sustaining phase to higher levels of operational physical capacity. It is important to remember that all movement skill requires consistent revisiting of the basics before and after progressing to higher levels. Integration. The integration principle focuses on tasks and drills soldiers perform that enable them to fight and win. The Army trains soldiers and units to fight and win in combat using a specific list of WTBD. Warrior tasks are a collection of individual skills linked to a soldier's ability to shoot, move, communicate, survive, and protect and treat. Examples include weapons training, tactical communications, urban operations, and first aid. Battle drills are group skills designed to teach a unit to react and survive in common combat situations. WTBD establish a minimum standard for all soldiers, independent of age, sex, and MOS. All commanders ensure that their soldiers can execute all WTBD. Soldiers demonstrate this ability by regularly training and testing on the tasks to ensure they have been integrated into the soldiers' skill sets. Soldiers following this doctrine will become more physically fit, but it is not a prescription for recreational fitness or for fitness for fitness's sake. This fitness aims to develop physical capacity to support the mastery of MOS and combat-specific tasks. Once soldiers reach high foundational readiness standards in the initial phase, they continue to build foundational fitness and metal-specific physical capabilities. This doctrine integrates physical training with non-physical training. Leaders consider the non-physical domains integrating with the physical training plan. Training goals need to account for soldiers' ability to physically and mentally perform in extreme environments of heat, cold, and humidity, and while carrying heavy personal protective equipment. Recovery between training sessions must also be trained, measured, and scheduled. Leaders also manage obstacles to goal achievement. For example, a unit will not gain much from having 24-hour access to a gym if an assessment of the unit's sleep readiness shows an average of below 6 hours per night. Similarly, if a unit readiness measure is a reduction in ABCP enrollees, then unhealthy fast food options in the unit's life support area contradicts that goal. H2F drills and exercises balance different energy systems and components of fitness for each soldier. That soldier's movement skill and physical capacity create the unit's ability to deliver force. The soldier's goal for readiness will include the demands of the MOS, the unit's mettle, and the likely environmental, physical, and non-physical challenges of the unit's deployment mission. The physical activities of combat may include more than those listed in WTBD and must be trained for. Examples include repeated forcible entries, quick pursuits, close combat, sustained mountain patrolling, and sustained load carriage. A fully integrated soldier can complete 16-mile ruck marches, load gun turrets, replace large tires, extract and evacuate casualties, move over and around obstacles, react to man-to-man contact, and load 155mm rounds onto a bustle rack. The training activity and the test events are reverse-engineered from the combat tasks. Therefore, H2F training takes care of those test events as well. Ruck marching. This section illustrates how to develop a program to train for the occupational task of ruck marching. A combat arms unit preparing for dismounted operations during an upcoming deployment uses the following principles and template to develop a training approach. The 4-week ruck marching program uses the following considerations to develop the first mesocycle in a longer training schedule. Once per week progressive ruck march. Progress one factor each week of either weight of the load, distance of the march, speed of the march, gradient of the terrain, or roughness of the terrain. Loads above 30% of body weight should be increased with caution. Do not do long marches, endurance runs, or heavy leg strength workouts on consecutive days. Strength training performed with free weights and strength training machines, STMs, at least 3 days per week, moving from high repetitions, 12 plus, with less weight, muscular endurance, and RPE of 6 to 7, to lower repetitions, 3 to 6 reps, with heavier weight, and RPE of 8, and working up to 3 sets per core exercise, bench, deadlift, squat, and complementary exercises, for example, overhead push press, lat pull downs, leg press. Aerobic endurance training with progressive increases in distance, running 20 to 30 minutes based on RPE, pace, and/or heart rate, and running skill drills along with interval training with progressive decreases in rest, 60-120s progressing to 30-60s, or 2x300-meter shuttle run, known as 300SR, in 3 minutes, progressing to 4x300-meter shuttle run in 1 minute. Adhere precisely to pace, effort, and movement goals with each road march and across each session. Progressively integrate terrain, loads, and distances that replicate conditions likely to be encountered in combat environments. To do this, vary the time of day of the march and training sessions, replicate the nutrition and hydration plan, timing, and choices available in combat. During the ruck march, include short, unplanned physical activities such as 3 to 5 second rushes, shoulder stability drill, or 5 repetitions of the 8-count T push-up to replicate getting into and out of prone firing positions. Change directions or move to cover. Skip rest breaks. Rotate or remove squad leadership. Incorporate proper nutrition and sleep strategies to be able to consistently train. Running skill. Running instruction has challenged the U.S. Army for the last decade. It has been one of the most common concerns of soldiers leaving IMT. Numerous individual variations in running skill exist. However, some common principles can help soldiers run better and reduce injuries. Various running instructional models and programs exist. This publication and ATP 7-22.02 use the POSE method as a method for the running skill program and drills. Scientific literature does not explicitly support a single running style that is optimal for all individuals. Many other running technique instructional methods exist through commercial organizations and sanctioned governing bodies. Instructors can use other techniques they deem more suitable for the population they are instructing. Soldiers who need foundational running skill or who want to improve their running performance may benefit from standardized drills that develop running skill. Soldiers understand that standards and skill development are key factors in the optimal performance of any physical readiness activity and any soldier task. Running is no different. The amount and variety of running activity are controlled in the H2F system to provide time to improve running and other movement skills and to prevent misuse injuries that arise from poor skill combined with too much run frequency and intensity. A balanced approach applies to running just as it does to the other skills across the H2F system. Commanders who control the amount of running can spend more time developing strength and the other skills that further enhance readiness domains. In the H2F performance team, MFTs develop training plans and lead physical training sessions that incorporate running drills. MFTs teach the running skill in the classroom as well as on the training field. The running paradigm. A paradigm describes a way of thinking about an issue or problem. It provides a useful way to analyze and understand a problem and usually includes common language or terms. The running skill paradigm supports the concept that leaders can teach running skill as a technique, using drills and exercises. Just like any skill position in a team or individual sport, swimming, baseball, soccer, cycling, any lift in the gym, soldiers develop technique. The applied skill of movement over time by purposeful and deliberate practice. Movement skills such as switching from rifle to pistol or close quarters combat requires a skilled coach as well as repeated practice. High-level skill in running is no different. Running drills and exercises aim to progressively build and correct running skill. They build the physical capacity and mental awareness of the position of the body while running. Gravity is the arbiter of movement. Although not seen, soldiers can see and feel its effects. They stay at rest because of it and lose balance because of it. All forces on Earth are derivatives of gravity. As a force of nature, it cannot be overcome. Gravity is the one force that allows soldiers to go from standing still to moving forward. As a pencil falls from a desk, a rocket arcs towards its target, and a soldier trips through the sprint drag carry, gravity is predominant. During running, As the body moves, it rotates around its point of support on the ground, where the foot meets the ground. The angle between the body's starting position as the foot contacts the ground and the new angle of the body as the foot leaves the ground can be measured. The greater the angle, the greater the speed of movement. Using classical geometry and mechanics, this angular velocity can be translated into forward or linear velocity in two equations. In the first, V equals R times omega, where V is linear velocity, R is the radius of rotation, leg length, and omega is the angular velocity of a given rotation. In the second equation, omega equals theta over t, where theta is the angle of deviation of the body from the vertical, and t is the time of passing through that angle. Therefore, velocity equals rotation times theta over t. The soldier's running speed depends on his or her angle of fall. The greater the angle, the greater the speed. Keeping the center of mass over and then moving it ahead of the base of support requires maintaining the dominant running position, which requires muscles to be strong enough to maintain the body's position during the fall. Changing support from one foot to the other requires an active pull of the foot from the ground to increase the speed of movement through the fall angle. Running drills increase the specific strength required to do this. If the fall angle is greater, so will be the acceleration and subsequent speed of the body over the ground. Acceleration is A equals G times sine of theta, where G is gravity, and sine is sine, ratio of the shortest to the longest sides of the angle. A larger angle generates an increase in acceleration. In the case of human movement, gravity has to be worked with. When standing still, muscles support body weight, maintain a state of rest, and balance under the influence of the downward force of gravity. The muscle works to maintain the balanced position or to reposition the body to be able to change support. Unless an external force acts upon the body's weight or muscles reposition that weight, the body remains at rest. If soldiers lose balance, either because muscles have relaxed or an external force acted upon them, they begin to fall. They move. Classical mechanics and geometry give a mathematical explanation of how this movement happens. Like the rocket example, our movement is initially in the horizontal plane, forward, via gravitational torque. The body becomes a lever as its mass pivots around the base of support, the foot. The pivot ends as the toes are pulled from the ground. If the front of the foot is used as the base of support throughout the duration of contact with the ground, less time will be spent pivoting on the ground, allowing an earlier pull. The point is not to simply land on a specific part of the foot. The point is to reach a position to continue moving forward as efficiently as possible. The movement forward, the fall, can conclude only when the foot no longer supports the body's weight. Falling over can be prevented only by rapidly reestablishing balance, a new base to support the body's weight. To move forward from this new base of support, the body must reach a position where it can pull the foot from the ground to fall again. Repeating this action at higher frequencies increases speed. Similar to the command, starting position, move, in conditioning drills, or the predominant poses taught in ballet and dance, or ready positions in martial arts, soldiers can master the dominant running position or pose through drills and exercises. They can also master the action required to move quickly in and out of this position. The action of the hamstring as it contracts to pull the support foot from the ground and under the hip positions the body for the next fall. The three words, pose, fall, pull, concisely describe the how of how to run. These are the essential elements of running skill. They form a standard against which a soldier's running skill can be measured. Running. Running is a recurring change of support from one foot to the other. This change begins as the runner's center of mass falls forward of the support foot that the runner then pulls from the ground. The foot is pulled up toward the hip by the hamstring muscles, while the opposite foot moves to the ground to provide a new support. As the pulled leg passes the support leg, the body reaches a new position from where it can continue acceleration. Running measurement. Measurement of this standard using readily available video feedback does not take much time. The H2F performance team can quickly analyze a soldier's running stride to show the soldier his or her deviation from the standard. This visual and verbal feedback, like any coaching, increases the soldier's perception of how he or she is running. Leaders can prescribe drills and exercises for the soldier based on specific deviations from the standard. Such drills and exercises reduce excess strain on the body and increase running speed and distance. Running drills may be performed collectively or individually. ATP 7-22.02 discusses and illustrates the purpose and execution of all seven running drills in detail. Soldiers perform the drills at least once per week to develop proper form. As with all physical training exercises, consistent adherence to precise execution provides optimal results. After conducting a block of instruction, commanders who want to progress running skills should schedule running drills 2 times per week for 15 to 20 minutes during endurance activities. Running drills should precede or follow running activities. Running drill 1 is used to increase awareness of improper running form. Leaders do not have to use running drills in order. They may be prescribed to address individual and unit deficits in running skill. The soldier's perception of any movement, whether it be running, weightlifting, or shooting, is developed through physical repetition and attention to form. Repetition improves skill by connecting the brain to the body part. By asking questions about perception, performance experts, MFTs, and unit leaders promote faster adoption of improved skill. Army Water Survival Training. H2F physical readiness training builds skills that help soldiers survive in water. Water survival skills are critical soldier combat tasks. Commanders can incorporate these skills into physical training schedules or treat it as special training events and programmed accordingly. The inclusion of pool or aquatics training in special conditioning requires that commanders know whether their soldiers can swim and have completed drown proofing. See ATP 7-22.01 for more details. Soldiers who successfully complete AWST possess the requisite swimming skills to complete more advanced waterborne training and testing. When AWST is conducted to standard, soldier safety is ensured while performance is enhanced. AWST builds soldier confidence prior to special conditioning pool workouts and increases survivability in operations in and around water. 2 levels of classification in the AWST program inform the commander of the water survivability levels of his or her soldiers: Basic Survival Swimmer, known as BSS, and Combat Survival Swimmer, known as CSS. All soldiers complete Combat Survival Swimmer annually. Qualification at the Combat Survival Swimmer level is necessary only for units that anticipate extensive operations in and around water. These units conduct operations over the shore, maritime transportation, and the Army Diver Program. The Combat Water Survival Test, CWST, accurately records a soldier's ability to safely function in a water environment. The CWST certifies soldiers who intend to lead AWST and for other trainers in the H2F system. AWST trainers must be certified annually in the CWST. Soldiers who wish to maintain the validation must recertify on the CWST every 2 years. Safety. Safety is the first concern when training soldiers in and around water. Unit standard operating procedures for swim instruction, aquatic rehabilitation, and water survival training must be developed to ensure safe and effective training. SOPs describe the training area, uniform, personal equipment, formation, leadership, commands, and safety. Leaders use, review, and rehearse written safety and emergency action plans prior to conducting training. AWST trainers and assistant instructors perform risk management following installation policy and DAPAM 38530. Qualified lifeguards attend and have standard sets of pool safety and rescue equipment on hand at all times. A standard set of equipment consists of shepherd's crook and reaching poles, heaving line, ring buoy with rope, backboard with tie-down straps and cervical collar, whistles, first aid kit, automatic electronic defibrillator, known as AED. Lifeguards must have a current American Red Cross lifeguard training certificate and must be certified in first aid and cardiopulmonary resuscitation, known as CPR. Lead and assistant instructors should be strong swimmers. Ideally, all instructors have cardiopulmonary resuscitation training and water safety instructor certificates and have passed the CWST. Non-swimmers require extra training time. Those who do not self-declare as non-swimmers should be given extra swim training if they fail the 2-minute buoyancy test, treading water and sculling for 2 minutes in ACUs and boots without going underwater or touching the bottom of the pool. Extra swim training time provides soldiers training to perform the 2 strokes necessary to pass the basic survival swimmer, the side stroke and breaststroke. Basic survival swimmer. Soldiers must successfully complete the following 3 training tasks to qualify for basic survival swimmer. Soldiers will wear ACUs, boots, and improved outer tactical vest, IOTV, without plates. Soldiers will carry an M16 or M4 series training aid for tasks 2 and 3. Task 1, trouser inflation and float. Task 2, bob and travel. Task 3, 2-stroke test, side stroke and breaststroke. Task 1, trouser inflation and float. Task 1, trouser inflation and float, consists of the following 4 steps. Perform stride entry by leaping off the edge of the pool deck into the water with the trunk leaning forward, the head up, the legs spread in a stride position, one forward, the other back, and the arms extended sideward, palms facing downward. Immediately upon entry, the legs move together and the arms move vigorously downward, slapping the water upon entry. This technique keeps the head above water and allows the soldier to maintain visibility. Use the emergency pull strap on the IOTV to release it, allowing the parts of the IOTV to fall to the bottom of the pool. Soldiers collect the IOTV after completing task 3. Perform a hanging float and remove 1 boot at a time. Place the first boot under an arm while untying the other boot. Tie the laces together and put the boots around the neck, resting each boot on each side of the chest. Remove trousers, button the fly, and tie off each trouser leg individually using an overhand knot. Inflate the trousers using the sling or splash method. Once the trousers are inflated, gather in the waistband and twist to seal the air inside the trousers. While grasping the twisted waistband, climb in between the trouser legs and place 1 leg under each arm. Float for 2 minutes. Sling method. The sling method consists of the following steps. Place the trousers on top of the water as if they are to be put on. Grasp the waistband, forming a circular opening on the surface of the water. Maintaining hold of the waistband, cross the right arm over the left. Then rotate the trousers counterclockwise above and behind the head. Maintain the circular opening of the waistband with both hands. Perform a large scissor kick while forcibly extending the arms overhead. Sling the trousers quickly forward and downward, trapping air under the water. Immediately gather in the waistband to maintain inflation of each trouser leg. Continue to hold the waistband together with one hand while bringing the opposite arm around and over the same side trouser leg. Change hands, continuing to hold the waistband together with the other hand while bringing the opposite arm around and over the other trouser leg. Splash method. The splash method consists of the following steps. Place trousers in front and hold the waistband open at the fly with one hand. While using the scissors or frog kick to stay afloat, splash water and air toward the waistband opening with a downward motion of the hand, stopping the stroke at the opening. Immediately gather in the waistband to maintain inflation of each trouser leg. Continue to hold the waistband together with one hand while bringing the opposite arm around and over the same side trouser leg. Change hands while continuing to hold the waistband together with the other hand, bringing the opposite arm around and over the other trouser leg. Task 2. Bob and Travel. Task 2, Bob and Travel, consists of the following steps. Sling weapon over the right shoulder, grasping the sling close to the sling clamp with the left hand at the chest and the weapon butt plate with the right hand. The weapon is then pulled tight to the back. Stand with toes on the edge of the pool deck and face toward the water. Step off the edge of the pool deck into the water with the knees slightly flexed to absorb the impact upon hitting the bottom of the pool. Submerge to the bottom of the pool, slowly exhaling air through the nose while maintaining control of the weapon. Place the weapon on the pool floor. Assume a squatting position and push off the bottom of the pool with both feet, extending the arms overhead and hands together, traveling forward at a 45-degree angle toward the surface. Travel. Upon reaching the surface, take a full breath and rotate the hips forward, drawing the knees toward the chest. Bob. Resubmerge to the bottom of the pool by straightening the legs and bringing the arms forcefully overhead with the palms turned inward, slowly exhaling air through the nose. Repeat the travel action, continuing to bob and travel for 15 meters. Task 3. Two-stroke test. When performed correctly, the side stroke and breaststroke enable the soldier to move through the water quickly and efficiently. The side stroke is one of the most efficient strokes because it allows the soldier the ability to rest on top of the water. It is also the stroke used in the collar toe. The breaststroke is the most useful stroke for military swimming. It is efficient when swimming through debris and in full clothing and gear, and it provides good visibility. Soldiers enter the water at the deep end of the pool using the stride entry. They swim for the length of the pool, or 25 meters, using the side stroke. Soldiers exit the shallow end of the pool and walk back to the deep end starting point. They then re-enter the water at the deep end using the stride entry and swim the length of the pool performing the breaststroke. Soldiers exit the shallow end of the pool. Combat Survival Swimmer. Soldiers must successfully complete the following four tasks to become classified as combat survival swimmers. Uniform is ACUs, boots, and IOTV without plates. Soldiers carry an M16 or M4 series training aid for all four tasks. Task 1. Equipment removal. Task 2. Collar toe. Task 3. 15-meter underwater swim. Task 4. 3-meter drop and pool exit. AWST leaders select a location on the deep end of the pool where the water is a minimum of 9 feet deep. Soldiers wear ACUs with boots, IOTV, and M16 or M4 training aid slung over their back. A safety line may be attached to the soldier and controlled by the AWST leader or assistant instructor. A shepherd's crook will also be available. If at any time the soldier shows signs of undue fear, stress, panic, or fatigue, the AWST leader or assistant instructor will use the safety line or crook to pull the soldier from the water. Task 1. Equipment removal. Soldiers will practice equipment removal while on the deck prior to entering the water using the following steps. The soldier moves to starting point at the deep end of the pool. The soldier moves to the entry line with his or her back facing the water and slings the weapon over the left shoulder, grasping the sling close to the sling clamp with the right hand at the chest and the weapon butt plate with the left hand. The soldier pulls the weapon tight to the back. The soldier stands with heels on the edge of the pool deck and back toward the water. He or she then performs a rear water entry, bending forward slightly at the waist, transferring body weight to the heels, and falling rearward into the water, while maintaining control of the slung weapon. He or she then breaks the water with the rear of the thighs and buttocks. After performing the rear entry, the soldier submerges to the bottom of the pool while exhaling through the nose and mouth. Upon reaching the bottom of the pool, the soldier removes his or her weapon from its slung position and places it on the bottom of the pool. The soldier then removes the IOTV and places it on the bottom of the pool. The soldier surfaces and continues to swim any stroke to the side of the pool and exit. If the soldier shows signs of panic, the assistant instructor pulls the soldier to the side of the pool using the safety line or shepherd's crook. Task 2. Collar toe. The collar toe is used to help swimmers who are tired but not struggling. For this task, one soldier acts as rescuer while a partner acts as victim. The soldiers then reverse roles using the following steps. AWST leaders select a location on the deep end of the pool where the water is a minimum of 9 feet deep. The soldiers perform this task wearing ACU, boots, IOTV, and M16 or M4 training aids slung over the back. Soldiers are paired with a partner. Prior to entering the water, soldiers practice a dry run of the event, including the stroke mechanics for the side stroke while on the pool deck. The rescuer slings weapon over the left shoulder, grasping the sling close to the sling clamp with the right hand at the chest and the weapon butt plate with the left hand. The soldier pulls the weapon tight to the back. The rescuer stands with toes on the edge of the pool deck while facing toward the water. The rescuer performs stride entry by stepping off the pool deck into the water with trunk leaning forward, head up, legs spread in a stride position, one forward, the other back, and weapons slung across the back. Immediately upon entry, the rescuer moves legs together. This technique keeps the head above water and allows the rescuer to maintain visibility. The rescuer will stabilize buoyancy, roll onto left side, and breaststroke toward the victim. The rescuer grabs the tired swimmer's collar at the back of the neck and pulls him or her to a horizontal position on his or her back. The rescuer maintains hold of the victim's collar, keeping his or her arm fully extended. The rescuer uses a modified side stroke while towing, swimming on the side that feels most natural, using a sidearm pull and scissor kick. The soldier should aim to master the stroke on both sides. Following the side stroke sequence, rescuers exit the pool in the deep end by placing their rifle on the deck while maintaining contact with the victim on the side of the pool. This is best accomplished by securing one or both arms of the tired swimmer against the pool deck while exiting the pool. Once on the pool deck, the rescuer squats and grasps the tired swimmer's IOTV and rotates him or her so their back is against the side of the pool. The rescuer simultaneously stands up from the squat position and lays the tired swimmer onto the pool deck. Task 3. Underwater swim. The underwater swim measures soldiers' confidence and ability to enter the water, submerge to the bottom of the pool, successfully swim 15 meters underwater with their equipment, surface, and exit the pool. They use the following steps. AWST leaders select a location on the deep end of the pool where the water is a minimum of 9 feet deep. The soldier performs this task wearing ACUs, boots, IOTV, and M16 or M4 training aids slung over the back. Prior to entering the water, soldiers should practice breaststroke mechanics while on the pool deck. The soldier slings weapon over the left shoulder, grasping the sling close to the sling clamp with the right hand at the chest and the weapon butt plate with the left hand. The soldier pulls the weapon tight to the back. The soldier stands with heels on the edge of the pool deck and back toward the water. The soldier performs a rear water entry by bending forward at the waist, transferring body weight to the heels, and falling rearward into the water while maintaining control of the slung weapon. The soldier breaks the water with the rear of the thighs and buttocks. The soldier submerges to the bottom of the pool and slowly exhales air through the mouth and nose. The soldier pushes off the bottom of the pool with both feet, bobs to the surface, and grasps the edge of the pool deck. Upon command of the AWST leader, the soldier rotates, facing the pool, takes a full breath, and drops under the surface of the water. Immediately pushes off the wall and begins the underwater swim with arm and leg movements used in the breaststroke. The soldier remembers to slowly exhale air through the mouth and nose while underwater swimming to the opposite side of the pool. Upon reaching the opposite pool wall, the soldier surfaces and performs a pool exit. Task 4. 3-meter drop and pool exit. The 3-meter drop with rifle and equipment measures a soldier's ability to enter the water, swim to the side of the pool, and exit with weapon and equipment. AWST leaders select a location on the side of the pool where the water is a minimum of 9 feet deep. The soldier performs this task wearing ACUs, boots, IOTV, and M16 or M4 training aid. A shepherd's crook or safety line will be attached to soldier and controlled by AWST leader or assistant instructor. If the soldier shows signs of undue fear, stress, panic, or fatigue, the AWST leader or assistant instructor will use the safety line or crook to pull the soldier from the water. The soldier performs a stride entry by stepping off the 3-meter diving board or platform into the water with the trunk leaning forward, the head up, the legs spread in a stride position, one forward, the other back, and the arms extended overhead, holding the M16 or M4 training aid. Immediately upon entry, the soldier moves legs together and the arms vigorously downward, slapping the water with the weapon. This technique keeps the head above water and allows the soldier to maintain visibility. Upon entry into the water, the soldier will stabilize buoyancy and simultaneously transfer weapon to the right side of the body, grasping the sling close to the forward sling clamp with the right hand. The soldier places the weapon near the lower sling clamp onto the right hip while rolling onto left side. The soldier performs the side stroke to the edge of the pool and exits.